Hey guys. Hey, welcome to Same Difference Podcast. We're cracking open drinks. We're ready for this discussion.
We are.
Hey, welcome guys.
Welcome to the Same Difference Podcast.
Okay.
We have some really good energy this episode.
Yeah.
We're in a good space.
It's a good thing. Happy new week.
Yeah.
We're hoping you have good health.
Wealth,
you know. Not even just about money, literally spiritual wealth.
Yeah.
That kind of wealth. You know? We hope your life is rich in all the right ways.
Nice.
And also with money, because it's important.
It's helpful.
Uh-huh.
It's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
So, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I cannot complain.
Oh, you can, but you won't.
Exactly. I cannot, but I can.
Yeah. But you choose not to.
Let's not. You
Let's
know?
Focus on the good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sour. As per our ritual, you know, where we have bacon before.
Yo, it has. Let me tell you guys where this custom came from. Like, even just like, drop the beat back, DJ. Drop the beat down. Reduce.
Guys. DJ.
Okay.
DJ.
Yeah. Una trauma. You guys, Jenny makes life-changing bacon. You know, we have only ever eaten bacon as bacon. I've never eaten bacon that has things added to it. This is the American in you. I'm calling it. This is the American in you, because I've never ever had bacon other than you put on the pan and you have the bacon as it comes from the pig, you know, from the farmer's trace itself. Yeah. Jenny made this bacon like a month or so ago that I've been dreaming about ever since. And now it's become a Same Difference ritual.
Yeah.
That we have to have bacon every single time we record. Mm. And we're recording at Creative Caravan, you know, studios. So every time we come here, it's just a good vibe. Bacon and vibes.
So even the whole
hashtag
studio smells like
bacon and vibes.
Bacon and vibes. That should be the name of the show.
Okay.
Bacon and vibes.
Yeah.
Nah, but we named it Same Difference, because that means a lot more.
It does. same, but we different.
Mad different. Yeah.
Yo. What are we talking about today?
We're talking about toxic femininity.
Oh, shit. What's that?
See, it's like when you use your femininity to just purvey toxicity in relationships and in just general.
I feel like this is one of those conversations I'm going to be a spectator, mostly.
Why?
Because in all my relationships, I've been the female, so I don't know.
So have I.
No, but you date fellow females.
That still makes me the female.
Okay, I'm a female. All right, me tell me, for real, what's toxic femininity? I'd have
exactly
to Google
that.
It. I don't even know. Let me Google it.
But right. It's exactly that. It's where you use your femininity to purvey toxicity in whatever space you encompass.
She really said purvey.
What should I have said? To broadcast.
Okay, here's what the internet says. Toxic femininity is a way for women to sabotage others by using her traditionally feminine qualities. It occurs when women use their feminine stereotypes set out by society to their advantage, as well as when women cover stabs and insults with a veil of kindness and empathy.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Mm.
Okay, so what causes toxic femininity? Toxic femininity is the result of internalized misogyny. And just as toxic masculinity, it has poisonous effects on all people regardless of gender.
Oh, I can see.
Most women receive toxic femininity-based grooming from childhood. Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
In other words,
okay.
It's in the water.
Let's go there.
It's in the water. You're taught it.
You're taught.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, we are taught toxic femininity facts. See, we are taught as women how to changanisha a guy.
Yeah.
You're taught how to use your mwili, your mind to get what you want from your husband, from your boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, you've been taught how. Classic case. I can trap a man if I want to.
Okay. Yeah. Because you've been socialized
you've been taught.
Literally.
By your aunties, your mama, the church. What is a good woman?
Your, okay. Let's go there.
Let's talk about
because
it.
Because this is what our good sis Chimamanda has been talking about.
Yeah.
You know, about, you know, feminism and, you know, the bad rap it has and whatever. And, you know, when she was making this argument for we should all be feminists, she was basically saying, you know, as women, we're taught to compete with each other from a very young age for the attention of men. Mm. Now, me, I can relate to that 100% because I date men. For you, were you raised in the same way? Jenny, you have to cook and clean so that you're marriage material.
Say cook.
But were you taught?
Of course, I was taught that. Okay. As a woman, I was taught that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for you to be marriageable.
Yeah, but I was taught that for one particular purpose, is to be able to get a man.
Exactly.
Right. I was not taught, you know, you just need to be clean for... Well, yes, you're taught that.
Yeah, I wish I had this argument when I was 15. What if I want to date a woman, mom?
or maybe, what if I don't want to date anyone?
Anyone.
And I just want to be able to clean my house.
Yeah.
Or cook. And then, you see, now that's what men are not taught.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then now, you have the exact version of you.
Yeah.
Right? Just male.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know shit. And then you have you, the woman, who thinks they know
a lot of shit. Dude, this has come up so much.
Yeah.
It has come up so much in our upbringing where, you know, you go to a party and you're like, oh, look, so and so can cook better than you. Oh, look, can you cook like this one? Oh, do you clean like this one? Mm. Or do you, you're not going to be able to keep a man if you don't do X, Y, Z.
In the dismantling of the things that I thought I knew and thought I had, you know, this one time I gave my cousin props for his girl at the time. Cleaning up my house after like a rager of a bash.
Yeah. So she got up before everyone.
And she
cleaned.
And I was like, nigga, keep that.
She was
woman.
Looking for points.
I was like, see?
Did they stay together?
No.
Oh, God.
But wait, why can't she just be a clean person?
But that's what I'm saying.
Why does it have to be? Why does it have to be for, not just even for the benefit, even
unlikely.
For her benefit?
Yeah.
It's so that her benefit is intertwined with some nigga.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. It's very unlikely that person did it out of the kindness and goodness of their heart. I'm just saying it's more likely that they have this ingrained in them. No. I'm just saying it's more likely that they have it ingrained in them in order to win a man's heart or to win the opinion of a man's relatives. Clean the house.
Yeah.
Be the shiny clean girl that's who they'll remember.
But you asked, are they together?
No. They're not. So it didn't work. So meaning, this thing's actually it's not a foolproof plan.
It's not a foolproof plan.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. And then now let's take this broad femininity and these wiles that we've been taught to use.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's apply that to a masculine present. And I really hate that masculine presenting. Mm-hmm. But in this, finally, I found a context where it works.
Uh-huh.
Where masculine presenting works. Because I find that to be very derogatory, almost.
Okay.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So if you take that same application, that you as a woman are taught and I as a woman are taught, and then you apply that to me as a homosexual woman, I don't cook. I just caught myself. I just cook too impressed.
And you're a bloody good cook.
And I'm a good cook.
Yeah,
yeah. But you see, it would take me a lot longer to get you to actually come into my house and let me cook for you. There's a lot more that you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but as a woman, right, you're taught to be meek and quiet and
and
like, you know, just
let me tell you, definitely I can tell you this as a heterosexual African woman.
Yeah.
That pressure is alive and well, and I don't think it's dying anytime
it's
soon.
It's not going nowhere.
It's not going nowhere. No. Yeah. It starts from how you're told how to dress. I remember being resentful of femininity.
Mm-mm.
I didn't embrace my femininity until very late in life because I was like, I'm an only girl with male siblings. Okay.
Right.
So I was predominantly boy-like. Yes. Like I was very into because wrestling. I was very into like Nintendo and PlayStation and gaming and roughness. I wasn't a lady.
Yeah, because to the there point were more where of them than there
my,
were of you.
Yeah, to the point where my only memory of my grandma, my maternal grandma, is her throwing a piece of firewood between my legs to tell me to sit properly. That's literally my only memory of her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wait. Hold on. Yeah. She did what?
She threw a piece of firewood.
So say for example that burnt a little shit out of you.
Yeah. I was so the opposite of feminine. Right. The only thing that was feminine was like my face is not. I don't look like a guy. Like I am very obviously on my face a girl.
A girl. Right.
But that was the only thing that was feminine about me. My behaviors, my mannerisms. Even up to today, I feel like I tend to lean towards, but now I dress more feminine and I've embraced it because my body has now blossomed
become
into
a more feminine,
looking body.
Yeah, exactly. I, on the other hand, was I was raised around women.
Yeah.
I have only sisters and a harem of cousins, female cousins.
Yeah.
So for me, when I have no problem with my femininity, but I'm very much aware of how weird it is that we're taught certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I apply them in my life, it kind of just doesn't work, you know? So I'll give you an example. I don't have a problem wearing a dress.
I nearly fainted when I saw you in a dress for two reasons. One, because you looked so fucking dope.
Right.
Two, because I was like, Jenny is in a dress.
Which is so strange because I understood I came to understand my femininity before I really understood my sexuality.
Okay.
So I started modeling at a really young age.
What? Modeling one foot in front of the other on a catwalk.
Catwalk.
You would snap your hips.
Yeah.
Hiya.
And also commercial modeling.
Okay.
But as a child.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I came into my, I learned how to use my, turn my body a certain way, walk a certain way.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before I ever figured out what my sexuality was.
Right.
So for me, that was a clear indicator of how those two things are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like my femininity and my sexuality have nothing to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So and that's because for me it was separated.
Yeah.
Really early, or rather, it was separated before it coincided with each other. Before they coincided with each other.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Right. So then I didn't have to be a girl.
Yeah.
When I was asked to.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh huh.
So if we were going for dinner or whatever in the family, fine. Yeah, I'd dress up or whatever. I'd wear a skirt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, whatever. You know what I mean?
Most of the time,
catch me outside, I'm in a skirt. I mean a pair of shorts or a pair of pants, kicking a ball, throwing a basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Playing what I consider to be regular kid shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I was also being taught was the difference between me and my male cousins.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or me and a male, right? So I was taught how to be competitive as a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you can be the smartest person in the room, but don't be too loud because boys don't like that. Don't be too smart because boys.
You're intimidating. Yeah.
Even in that sport that you play, because I remember in high school, I played against the boys. I did a one-on-one match with every member of the boys team.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And I held my own, you know, I was,
wiping the floor with them.
Facts.
Yeah.
But you're taught in the back of your mind. Yeah. You're like, oh shit, I would want one of these boys
now,
to look at me.
Let me tell you, I was a perfect student of that school of submissiveness.
Right.
I was very shy and submissive in the sense that I never wanted to command attention because for me that was
unladylike.
Considered. Yeah. It's unladylike and it's considered, you're seeking attention as if that's a, it became, seeking attention has gotten such a negative connotation.
And then also
that
my question
when you see someone, who is so into themselves and who knows who they are,
you're
put off by them because you've been socialized to be put off by someone who is that confident in themselves, which is absolute rubbish to me. When I see for instance my nieces or my goddaughters be so bold and so brave, I'm like, yes girl, yes, hold your own.
Yeah, in the same
way. Say no and mean it with your whole chest. In the same
way, when I look at my nephew and he asserts himself and he stands up for his self, right? I'm equally as proud, right? Because it's hard for everybody, you know? And at the end, like, so we're taught things like, don't be too loud, or otherwise, you know, it sounds like you're just an attention seeker.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But then,
me mind my.
Aren't you teaching me things to then now garner attention? Like I you want me to steer his attention this way, but then you're also telling me not to be loud. How the fuck am I gonna get his attention?
You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's this is something I also encountered when I moved to Australia. And a lot of Africans encounter when they move to Australia, by the way, because so for instance, in Kenya, making eye contact with your elder is rude. Like if your dad is or your mom, you're a kid and they're giving you a lecture and you're looking them dead in the eye, you're gonna get yourself slapped. You're gonna get injured. You're gonna get insulted. You're gonna question authority, which is a massive problem because it feeds into consent. I was having this exact discussion with my partner and a friend yesterday. Mm. So we're talking about this issue of consent and authority figures. I'll give you an example. In high school, I had some inappropriate exchanges with teachers, with male teachers.
Right.
So things that I now, in hindsight, consider inappropriate, but at that point in time,
you were not equipped
could
to
not
even
speak up because I've been taught and socialized to never question authority. You never
especially
question
authority. Man in authority.
Yes, especially
a man in
authority. And you're a girl, and I'm a girl. Ooh. So that's even worse. You never question. So when I would feel, you know, your intuition, even when you're a kid,
this doesn't feel right.
It picks up that this interaction is not right. There's something off about this, but I'm so terrified of speaking up, or I'm so terrified of even physically acting a certain way, and that's why I tell people, you know how there's like the freeze, flight, or fight survival mechanism.
A lot of Africans freeze.
A lot of African women freeze because a lot of people say, "Oh, she was attacked. Why didn't she do anything?" She did. She froze to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the thing that I completely I want to put in the bin when it comes to toxic femininity and that submissiveness that we're taught, because that thing literally could be the meaning. It could be the difference between life and death.
Yeah, and then
it could
also
be the difference between you surviving a certain situation and not.
Then also,
so that,
girl, like there's a saying: there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So even that submission, even that authority, there's a time and a place for it.
Yeah.
It baffles my mind how.
Yeah.
We struggle with the issue of equality.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
We are already equal in the sense that
you
can do whatever you want.
Yes.
And so can I. Right?
Yeah, right?
And that has nothing to do with the physical strength that is attributed to your sex, your biological sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then now in the question of equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It then just becomes in the parameters where things like, I don't know, physical strength, right? Like equity, now we can talk about that in terms of sport, you know, why women should not play against men, or why there should be modified rules for different, you know, then we can talk about that. But on a grander scale, we are equal because we all have the same set of abilities. Yet it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, because like that is not a foolproof plan.
No.
And then also on a personal level,
because let me tell you something, you're taught how to present yourself on the outside.
Right.
We're not given any tools about how to deal with the cleanliness of our inside.
Yes. And then
how's
also
your heart, boo?
Also there are men out there, right, who want to take care of a woman, but then now they're told
the women
that's
want to
simping.
Be taken care
and
of.
Exactly. But then like there's the plethora of emotions that you as a woman go through is the same plethora of emotions that a man goes through.
Yes.
It's just that we're herded into safe quote unquote safe little spaces that define us through masculinity or femininity.
Yeah.
Right? And then now
while we're forgetting we're both human.
We're both human. We're gonna experience the same
spectrum of
yeah.
And the magnitude will be the same. Like, so you, if you don't know how to, say, for example, express yourself to your partner
yeah.
and say, babe, I want a foot rub, or yeah. you know, I'm not gonna sit there and be like, you know me, my man.
Yeah. He doesn't give me foot. Yeah.
You know, and why is that an expectation? Right, because, yeah. you know, and then even this conversation about provider.
Yeah.
Oh,
protector. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You find a lot of women mm-hmm. get their men or their partners into physically. Situations with physical ramifications to them mm-hmm. rather than to you.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, for example, if you coerce a situation mm-hmm. and you go get your boyfriend and you say, my boyfriend's gonna beat you up or my boyfriend's gonna, and you go grab this, you're putting this man in harm's way while asking him to protect you.
Yeah.
Yet you could have done that on your own without leading it to a physical altercation. And that's a thing that women do. A nigga can't go out there and be like, yo, my girl's gonna beat you up.
So let me, okay. All right. So as a gay African woman, you've been socialized the same way I've been socialized because, you know, there was no room for being differently based on your sexuality.
There's no gay childhood.
So you date women who have equally been socialized in that way.
Right.
Can you tell me how that shows up for you? Like, what does that mean? Because you've both been taught to be a certain way to please a man. Yet here you are, both of you dating a woman who you've not been taught how to. There's no ati. Make sure you always clean your plate so that your future wife.
Came up. I have been asked if I should be served. Like my girlfriend has asked me if I should serve. If she should serve me food.
Okay, why didn't she ask if you should serve her? You're both
because
female.
She's been taught.
Okay,
right.
Mm-hmm.
To submit to her.
Partner.
Her partner. Her,
whether
her,
okay.
Right?
Regardless.
She's been taught to submit.
Okay.
Period.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It feels good to be. It feels good to be taken care of. Yeah. No?
Yeah, right? I know. It feels absolutely feels
right?
good. Yeah.
So if I came in, if your partner came and asked you, babe, there's dinner. Do you want me to
serve you?
Can I put someone on a plate for you? You hungry?
I feel like that's it? Yeah. That's normal.
Right.
Because
But there's an added pressure for a woman when that question is
there's
asked.
There's an absolute. Oh my God, for women it's loaded.
Think about now for a man when he
not even just let me tell you something. I'll just give you even just the most basic example.
Right.
If I'm dating a guy and he comes home, my parents will be looking at me like, "So what are you serving him?"
Yeah, exactly.
If the situation is reversed, his parents are not going to look at him like that. Mm-mm. Society's not going to look at him like that. Okay, Mm-mm. So what are you giving her?
Mm-mm.
What are you serving her?
Mm-mm.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. That's the thing I have a problem with.
Yeah.
That's the thing I have a fundamental issue with.
And that's not where the toxicity
comes
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because it's not... Because being feminine, right?
Mm.
Regardless of your femininity, regardless of your sexuality, right? Because that's a part of in each and every one of us. There's a masculine side to you and there's a feminine side to you.
Mm.
And I don't mean that in terms of like your sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not saying there's an inner man inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
just
saying you as a human being encompass both masculinity and
you're
femininity.
Not both Jenna and
you're not. Yeah, you're not Bruce and Caitlin at the same time. Like for you to embrace your femininity to the nth power,
mm-hmm.
right? Also comes with its negative sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it can be turned toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so for example, like I for one,
mm-hmm.
right? I am not gonna fight for you. Physically.
Meaning, okay.
Like you're not gonna start some shit.
Okay.
And expect me to now jump in there with my fists.
What if I didn't start it?
I don't give a fuck. I'm not jumping in there.
You're not
doing nothing. Listen. Because I guess now we have to rearrange what protect means.
Mm-hmm.
We are both protecting each other.
You know
what I mean?
I see. Okay.
You're not fighting.
I'm not fighting. What if I'm fighting?
Nigga, you fighting by yourself. Because you have given up a fundamental like that tenet of protecting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is not just masculine.
But what if I didn't start it?
I don't give a fuck. You should know not to, like we should not be fighting. Oh, period.
Yeah, someone has started some shit with me. I have to defend myself, so I have to put my fists up. And I'm not saying this would ever happen. Me, I can never get into fight.
That's not fight.
But,
period.
You know,
that's just not fight.
But it's a hypothetical because you brought it up. What are you doing? Are you running away?
I'm not running away.
What are you doing?
But I'm grabbing you and we're going.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like I see what you mean.
Yeah.
This thing is not escalating.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I have the same exact feelings. Even as I question, you have the same exact feeling. I am not putting my hands. I'm not throwing hands. I'm not.
And I'm not putting you in a situation. And I'm not putting you in. I'm not putting you in a situation that you will have to protect yourself. Right.
Yeah.
So even in understanding that these things are not masculine or feminine, however we've been taught that they are. So right, the man should protect and provide. Okay, what does that actually mean? Right, like if we're building a home, see, then we both have to provide, like regardless of whether you're male or
female.
That's
my view,
right?
Literally, that's my view as well,
right?
Because I'm not the type to be like, okay, so I'll be the housewife, I'll cook and I'll clean, and you'll
find
me
if you want to stay home
in an apron, and you know, a pin-up hairstyle, and I'll be, you know, smelling good for you and ready. You know, I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. Working.
That's
I'm bringing I'm bringing in the bacon. You're bringing in the bacon.
Like that.
You're the bacon.
Bacon and vibes. You know.
So I actually have to say, I share this, that view of, you know, whatever my partner's bringing in and whatever I'm bringing in, it's for us.
Yeah,
everything is for us,
right?
We're building for us.
Yeah.
So therefore, I also, even when I have children, God help me, teach them both values about being human and not, you need to be a good girl so that a man will like you.
Teaching, are you a good person?
If today the course is chapati making, my son and my daughter are
in that class together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because okay, so you know,
it's a life skill.
It is.
It's not a skill based on what's between
on your
legs.
Gender. Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you were taught all these things, and then they come back and bite you in the ass the older you get, and then you're asking yourself, why is it that I can't, you know, like, why is it that, you know, I don't have a relationship that is, you know, a particular type of way? And it's because we've both been taught, both men and women have been taught deeply toxic things.
Yeah.
Right? That have been, that the only place that the only outlet is the relationship, because that's what you've been taught to do in, like, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're not in a relationship, chances are you are, like, the side chick of toxicity, you know what I mean? Like, you're using so for example, if you're not in a relationship, say you're and actively practicing toxic femininity in your relationship, right? You out there in the streets practicing toxic femininity, it doesn't only just show up in relationships.
Speak on it. Yes. And how that shows up is judging your friends. Judging your female friends, who are, you're just like, aki nyumba yake ni chafu. Oh, she can't even, you know, no wonder she can't keep a man. She's not, her nails are not, she doesn't get a manicure every week and a half.
I'll give you another example that I think is classically toxic femininity, right? And that's gossiping. I think that's a very feminine trait.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say that that's a female trait, because there are a lot of,
I like that distinction.
The men,
yes,
who gossip,
yes,
who will sit there and be like, oh, you know that chap, by the way, he was over there shagging Samachile. You're doing the same thing, you're just a nigga, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like the trait itself is very feminine, like,
in nature. Now,
if you're talking about someone,
behind
their back,
okay,
with
the intention of bringing them down, that's what I was gonna
say. Gossiping.
That's another side to gossiping, which I'm just like, okay, this is where it gets toxic, this is where that competitive element and that destructive element comes in, because I am talking to you about Mary with the intention of coloring
your
how eye. You look at Mary.
Exactly.
And Mary, I want isn't you there to look down on Mary.
Yeah.
Because I want you to look at me as
better than
Mary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is not to say that men are not petty.
Yeah.
And that female are just petty.
Yeah, true.
No. Women are just petty. Mm-hmm. It's just to say that is a very feminine trait, and that's what it plays into. Right? And so you have to find, like, you have to unlearn a lot of things. Both as a man and a woman, right? And employ a more three-dimensional, like, version of you know, your femininity and your masculinity. Mm-hmm. Those two things have to be intertwined, right?
Yeah.
Like, so for you to be able to go into, say, a situation as a woman, as just a woman, right? Without the connotation of a good woman or a fertile woman or a pretty woman.
Just a woman.
Just a woman. right? And you understand like your masculinity as well. Mm. So like, so for example, to be assertive, mm-hmm. to be confident, mm-hmm. to be able to provide, mm-hmm. to be able to protect, mm-hmm. and that means to stand on your own, mm-hmm. to, you know, to mm-hmm. be able to command authority, mm-hmm. to be able, all those things, all while being soft and gentle and be
submissive,
able,
should you choose.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And a man should be able to explore the same,
mm.
because he also, there's a gentility that men are not taught.
Oh yeah.
And then they wonder,
you cannot cry as a man, you cannot show emotion. So therefore, how that, you know, that translates into us dating, basically these hard, you know, like extremely masculine. It's so unattractive.
And it's got,
let
to
me
the
tell
point,
you, there's nothing as unattractive as dating like a, oh, I'm so manly, I will come and ask you, where is the food, why haven't you cooked today? Oh my gosh. Like,
and it's equally as unattractive.
What's the opposite of
fanny
flatters?
And
what's the opposite?
I don't know. Oyon underpants.
Yeah.
No, but it's equally as unattractive to find a woman who wants to completely supplicate to you and has nothing else to give you other than just like, I will cook and clean for you. That's not, you know, in any way, shape or form. And then, you know, like if you look at how men now characterize like each other, you know, you have your alpha male, your beta, then you have Sujui, your Sujui and I found out there's Sujui Sigma, and then you have your Sujui. And then everyone is calling each other a simp because you do.
What's a simp, by the way? I've heard that word being thrown around, but I actually don't know what it means. A simp, does it mean you're simple?
A simp is just, apparently it's like, it's the guy who's willing to like do the most
for his girl,
or for the attention of a woman.
Okay,
so and that's the extreme version. So
as
like,
in he'll like love bomb, like buy the roses and what's the
or just do the most.
Okay,
like just do the most. So like, say for example, if you guys are not together, he'll be like, "Can I come over to that? Or can I bring you a sandwich? Like you know, like
what's
or can
wrong
I,
with that?
With the no, he his intention is to get you as his girlfriend or as
you're saying it's not a genuine trait. It's literally
he's doing the absolute most
with the least.
No, to get something he's not gonna get.
Okay. Okay.
At least that's my understanding.
Okay.
Of it, right.
Okay,
like,
okay.
And I. But maybe it may be colored in like so. Like for example, I'm a.
But then, if you look at it from another point of view, this person could just be a good person, a charming person. You know.
But then again, you know, the intent is always that's what has to be scrutinized.
Yeah.
But so, like for me, that divisiveness in like the labeling. So like, oh, you're a simp. You're a you know because you know. Mm-hmm. I think that has been convoluted. And turned into some sort of like it's been weaponized simply because of, you know, like the toxic conditioning that we've gotten. So like a woman sits back and expects a man to fill those roles. It may be different men filling those roles, like driver B,
yes,
food B, drinks B, you know, credit B, right? And the man is taught that that's how you provide, by offering sex, money, food, rent, as long as you get sex.
Right.
Right. And for the woman, it's as long as you get whatever
provision.
Provision.
Yeah. Your bills are taken care
and
of.
And so based off of that toxic understanding of femininity and masculinity, then now we have.
So what is it? Okay. So in terms of like, so toxic femininity. Oh. How is it in a romantic context? As in like, do you... Yeah, I'd like to know how does it show up in a romantic context?
So, I've been told that... And I find this to be such a strange thing to tell someone. I want to be taken care of. Or I expect a certain lifestyle.
Okay. Do you expect to be taken care of by your partner?
No.
Okay.
Why would I?
Okay. Just ask.
Why would I?
Yeah.
That's like,
do you expect to do the taking care?
That is.
Or do you, for you, is it
what
equal?
Am I taking care of?
Is it equal for you? Is
what
it
are
a partnership?
We taking care of though?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Taking care of you in what sense?
As in any sense. So for instance, do you take on the role of like, say, you know how men take on like provider, this, that.
Okay.
Do you take on any of those roles in a relationship? Or are you more like, let's literally see how we fit together and
Wait, for me, you'd have to set up, we have to set up a relationship first before then now we start playing this game.
Okay.
I expect this and this and this of you.
Yeah.
So I expect you to provide. What exactly am I asking you to provide for me? And in what capacity can you even provide that for me?
Mm.
Right? So if we're at the at the beginning stages of a relationship, like if you're just my girlfriend, I'm providing shit for you. You you should already be in service of yourself. Like you should be able to provide for yourself. You know? And like the only thing I can say that I will then now provide for is some sort of emotional need or some sort of physical need, right? Up until we move that to another level, like say for example marriage, or you know, yeah, exactly, marriage, I can't be providing for you. Like you can't look at me as a provider.
In what if we do get married and then now I'm looking at you to provide?
Then is I'm that also the issue? Looking, then I'm also looking at you to provide.
Okay,
because
okay,
then
okay.
at that point it becomes, what are we building? What are we what are these provisions for? Right? So are we building a house? Yes. So that we can live in it? Cool. I can't build that house on my own. Right? We're going to both build it together. So we're both going to have to come in and provide something.
Right.
So we're both providers. Yeah. Regardless of the, you know, what's in between our legs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's protection.
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't mean just in a fight or in a physical sense, right? It means, am I protecting you from, am I protecting this relationship from... Right, it's not a question of can you fight? Are you a jiu-jitsu boxer? Do I protect my relationship by being honest? Do I protect my relationship by not letting people have shit to say? Right, I think you know that is what when they say provide, protect, that's what it means. Right? And then you, when you say submit to me, what the fuck does that mean? It is not just that now you cook for me all the time, right? Or at now when I say I now would like to, you know, have some bedroom time, at now you now go lay yourself on the bed and now at now like, I take. Yes, no.
I am here for your service.
When I submit to you, it means in... When it comes to guiding or leadership, you know, I'm able to take... your leadership and submit that, you know, and trust that you know in this situation, you know, and that is true of any partner, to provide that to lead you and you submit and you know, in depending on what decision is being made. And in the same way, your partner can look at you and be like, oh yeah, this
in this instance, I'm going to lead.
So it's not derogatory or toxic, and I think we need to unlearn like how we were taught how to be women. And it doesn't take away from our gentility or from our...
Say that again. We need to unlearn
how we were taught to be women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
So, guys, listening, how has toxic femininity or toxic masculinity shown up for you? Because, for me, for sure, it's those examples I've given. It's that competition with a fellow woman. It's that, or, you know, judging someone by how society thinks they should be.
Right,
so, do you remember back in the day when girls used to be like, you couldn't have more than one ear piercing because that was considered like, for prostitutes? Oh, you didn't grow up here. So, yeah, back in the day, you saw a girl with more than one piercing on her ear.
She's a hoe.
Oh, she's a hoe. A girl with a belly ring is a hoe. A girl who wears red lipstick is a hoe. Like, I met, you know, a relative of a relative last year who said she considers people with nose rings hoes. And I was like, but okay, but why? What does that have to do with their sexual activity? It's literally an adornment. And she was like, oh, because to me, it says, come here. It says,
so you find them sexy. Wait,
so that means you like it. That means you like it. You just don't want to say you like
it. Let's talk about it for a second. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
You saw somebody that looked real good.
Yeah.
And had, and you thought to yourself, ooh, I would love a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then because you couldn't get that little bit of that,
yeah, you want to like, flip it on them and say that means they're easy. And that's, you see, that's the problem we have in our society. Yeah. That's why someone with dreadlocks and tattoos is considered a thug. Right. That's why a girl with a crop top and a belly ring is considered a slut. It's absolutely unfair and absolutely
we've been taught that a good woman is a modest woman.
Yeah,
you know, a woman who doesn't show too much.
Don't show off too much. Right, be humble.
But you know, niggas are not taught. I don't know. Maybe stop looking at people like that. Like only, you know. Right.
Yeah. So we have a lot of unlearning to do. Let's do this adulting together.
You know what we need to do?
Yeah.
We need to continue this conversation, but we need to have a masculine, like a male voice,
and male talk voice. About
toxic masculinity.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do that. I have a few people in mind.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
This has been great.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
We came in hot.
Coming in. Right? It's the same difference podcast. Thank you, guys. Wow. Yeah.
Remember to like, share, subscribe.
Yes.
I don't know.
We're interact with us on podcast platforms. Sounding profesh because we're recording at Creative Caravan Studios.
Ooh.
So it's at Creative Caravan Africa on Instagram. Hit them up or hit up official Sharon Mashira.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then you, what are your social handles?
Oh, my social handle is Things D Says.
Okay. Yeah. Everywhere. So
if you go on my Instagram, Things D Says, you'll find a link to all my shit.
Nice.
Yeah. You?
Skinny Filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram. That's the only space I exist in. Stop trying to push me into anything else.
You're on the YouTubes as well. You're on the credits. If you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm in credits, yeah. But I don't exist on.
You don't own your own. Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, us, same difference podcast _KE
on the Instagram.
On the Instagrams. Yeah. Interact with us, comment, talk to us, let us
know. We love interacting with you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just kissed the mic just then. But anyway,
someone's got to get kissed.
Yeah. All right.
It's been great. It's been dope. Mm-hmm. Let's do this next week, same time, same place.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.